If there's one lesson I've learned from this movie and movies like it, it's this. We just need to stop trying to fucking go to space. We just watched Event Horizon, so let's get snobby about this. Welcome back to the podcast. This is the Horror Snobcast. I am Sam.
I am Spencer.
I am Sean.
And this was the final movie of our little Sam Neill collection.
Yay, Sam Neill!
Sam Neill!
And the same haircut.
Same haircut, yeah, all the way out. But this is a good one to end on, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
Good one to end
on. Let's be real. Oh, I mean, the last two were pretty great.
Yeah. They're all pretty good. I mean... last two weren't... pretty great. Last one was.
I was meaning this one and the last one.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
last two of this month.
Including this one, yeah. Because yeah. Daybreakers, I think.
That was a letdown. Yeah.
If we remember till back then, it was.
So many months ago.
So many. But yeah, this was a fun one. This was one. We'd all seen this before, right? It's just been a while for all of us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I remember it really freaked me out when I was younger, and going back to it, there was still some creepy stuff, but it wasn't as creepy this time around. And
I agree.
I think we were kind of talking maybe it's just because we're older now, we're more used to it, or we just become so desensitized.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw it. I'm older than you guys, and I saw it when I was in my maybe late teens, early 20s. And I remember it being much scarier. Not that that's saying that that. Was bad. It was just I remember this being like up there with like some of the scariest movies I ever saw. So like I was kind of freaked
Ernest
out that we were gonna watch
those Halloween like up there with those
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Ernest
Scared Stupid, a classic. I used to watch that movie all the time as a kid. That I'd be down to do that for this podcast.
I always watched the Christmas one.
I never saw the Christmas one.
Full disclosure, I've never seen an Ernest movie.
Get out.
You bastard.
Get out of my house.
I've been canceled from the podcast.
Yes. We're kicking Sean off.
We were going to have Chris on, but then he decided he was going to clean his house, so fuck that guy.
We were going to have a guest this time, but you know what? Fuck him. Fuck him. We'll do it ourselves. Fuck it. We'll do it live. Yeah, but we'll get into the scariness in a second. The plot for this one is pretty straightforward, I don't think it was... You'd look at it now and you think, oh, this is kind of a generic space movie plot. But this was 97.
Right.
So I don't know if it would have counted more as a generic space movie then, or this was kind of one of the earlier ones.
That was how it was marketed. I mean, it was marketed as just kind of a space movie, a space thriller. And definitely was not marketed as a space horror movie. And I think that might have been one of the things that set a lot of audience members off. Is that they weren't expecting like a full-blown horror film when they're just going into a thriller.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what led to a lot of like the freakier. But I don't know, I feel like the group of astronauts going to check on a missing ship that's been found or a beacon or something is like a pretty old timey sci-fi story.
Alien, you know.
Countless Star Trek episodes.
Fucking 2001 A Space Odyssey is them checking on some fucking thing.
Solaris features the dude going to check on the space station.
Yeah.
Moon
even has like the...
Yeah, but Moon came out after. Moon was so after, I feel yes. like it... Yeah. But it's like in terms of like stuff. But yeah, I mean, that gets into more plot mechanics of, like, Moon itself.
Right.
When the beacon came in.
But we'll for this movie...
Moon's great. I mean, watch Moon.
This movie starts...
Just a random plug for Moon.
This movie is about a crew...
it's about an hour and a half long.
It's about an hour... It is about an hour and a half.
It was a short film.
It was. It was surprising. It was short. I thought this would be more like 2 hours. Yeah. I thought I remembered it being longer.
The original cut was two plus hours.
Okay.
They kind of had that, honestly. Yeah.
The studio and the test audiences thought it was a little too much.
Because... But when do you trust like studios 90s. And test
that's
audiences?
Like, yeah, that's like 90s, though, because now everybody's always like, oh, our movie has to be fucking 3 hours long, you know?
Well, I mean, the stuff that was cut out, though, was all third act stuff.
Okay.
They went way more in depth into, like, the freakier, deekier hell stuff.
Okay.
Well, the basic plot of this movie is the crew of this ship, they're a rescue ship led by Lawrence Fishburne, have been hired on and by this company that Sam Neill is part of, and he's a scientist. And they learn that they're going out to find this old ship, the Event Horizon, that disappeared
what?
7 years ago.
Yep. What?
Yep.
That's the name of the movie!
I know!
It's the movie!
Yep.
Oh, that's right annoying.
That's why we had to keep doing that.
I'm not going to start that again. But yeah.
I'm sorry. If you're listening to this podcast to try to fall asleep, geez, I'm sorry.
You better move on.
I think you've learned that that's not the best idea. But yeah, they...
Between me and Sean's super annoying voices, I think.
We've got that register that pierces through the night and directly into your ears.
Not me. I'm immaculate, bitch. But yeah, they're on a mission to recover what they can from this missing ship, the Event Horizon, and they know almost nothing about it. And they find out that Sam Neill invented like the engine for this thing that basically gets them the whole like wormhole travel from point A to point B. They have the hole poke two holes at different ends of a piece of paper, fold it, and then put the pencil through it.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, it doesn't... Yeah, it can't move at the speed of light, but what it does, it bends time and space, so it's just like, whoop!
Which, as we've learned from movies, bending time and space is, of course, a great idea.
Yep. Well, the only recording they had recovered before they found out the ship had returned after 7 years was just... it just sounded like scratching mechanical noises and screaming.
And hell.
And hell. And there might be a reason it sounded like hell.
They're not sure. It could have been robot sex.
Well, it could have been,
so
but...
So they jumped to conclusions.
As they board the Event Horizon, they find, like, the bodies of the crew are all dead. All kinds of weird shit has happened.
Blood on the walls.
Blood on the walls.
A pretty great party went on.
Bad CG stuff floating around in space.
Some bad CG, but basically they find out the ship basically found, when it went through the wormhole, it basically found a portal to hell, and it's now connected to hell, and when this warp drive thing opens up, the entire crew starts hallucinating and seeing like loved
like
ones,
past horrors,
yeah, past horrors, like loved ones they left behind who need them, or people they've left on previous missions to die, or just things that fuck with their mind,
yeah,
because they're basically, it's hell trying to pull them in.
Yeah.
So it's a, like, I mean, I know we're gonna get more in depth into it, but real quick, but it's just like, it's like Solaris meets Alien is kind of what they've done.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, Solaris was about like the seen loved ones and stuff who had died and everything. They'd seen someone who died, and then it's like mixed with like the horror aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that. And eventually, as the movie goes on, people start getting killed. Sam Neill is basically driven insane by. Sam Neill
went full Sam Neill.
He goes insane and basically becomes the envoy for the Hell Dimension. He rips out his eyes, and then later becomes like basically all scarred up demon Sam Neill. And
who had this whole thing about like how where he was going, he didn't need eyes, but then he had eyes again.
Yeah,
I mean, plot hole.
Yep,
and we or even eye hole.
I mean, his exact line was, "We made a Back to the Future joke," because his exact line was. Where we're going, we don't need eyes. It's like, how could you not? Where we're going, we don't need eyes.
Which is heavily ironic on today, of all days.
Yeah.
It's your kids, Marty. They've started devil worshipping.
Pretty much, yeah.
They found a wormhole to hell. I can't do a Doc Brown impression. I'm not even going to try.
So the end of the movie ends with Lawrence Fishburne basically sacrificing himself to save the last few remaining members of his crew and take out Sam Neill. And so the last crew members finally get rescued, but then they Dope. One of them starts having hallucinations, and you're like, oh no, maybe the evil followed them. The end.
That's yeah. a plot twist. Evil exists outside of space too.
Yes.
They own the presence,
but only if you take it outside of space. Yeah, it exists in space, and it exists outside of space if you've come and pick it up.
Okay.
It's like say you have a hot dog in the fridge and not a hot dog in this room. I mean, the hot dog exists in the fridge, but it doesn't exist in this room until you go pick it up and bring it here.
I really want a
but
hot
it is
dog
made out of cow anus.
Yes, cow anus is a big part of both this movie and hot dogs.
Okay.
no, but I mean, that's the basic premise of this movie.
And it does sound generic when you kind of like explain it that way, but like the way that it's executed, I don't think it's very generic at all.
No, it's very... There's a lot more to it, and they do some really cool stuff with how they explore hell affecting each and every one of the members of this crew.
I think that's definitely the highlight of the film, is how these different visions come about. And I mean, what was cool about it too is that they don't go into this backstory thing either. You just kind of like go with it, and
they show little snippets, and then like once you see something, then someone might kind of start explaining like, "This is what I saw. This is why I saw it."
Right, right.
But they don't really go into like super backstory. They let you put it all together.
Yeah.
By the way, you say those are the highlights of the film, but are we forgetting Lawrence Fishburne's awesome stupid chair? This stupid awesome captain's chair that's basically. It's like on a dolly system.
Yeah.
Attached to the roof of the spaceship that just spins around and moves back and forth. It's pointless and it's wonderful.
Yeah, and it doesn't... It has no reason to do what it's doing either. It's not like he's trying to get into some other control area or anything. So it's got controls on the actual chair. So it's like, where the fuck are you going?
Yeah, he's just kind of spinning around. It's... it reminded me of something, but I can't remember it off the top.
The chair looked familiar. I feel like somewhere else has used something similar to that.
I don't know, maybe it's just because it's Lawrence Fishburne, but it felt like Matrix.
I think that's just Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
But I do think some of the missing stuff was you've got more in depth than what everyone saw.
Right.
Probably. Within their hell dimension.
Probably. Because I know this movie was cut quite a bit out, as you already said. I also know at one point, like when they were making this movie, I think like 6 or 7 weeks into production, the studio was like, "Is there any way you can make this PG-13?" And because
this is a hard R.
Yep, and Paul W.S. Anderson, which this is probably one of the only good things he's ever done.
Because he ruined,
but he also made Resident Evil great in a bad way.
Yeah.
He ruined that game, but he made those movies something, like, horrendously beautiful. but he's directed this movie, he's like, no, there's no way for me to make this PG-13 at this point.
You can't imagine what they could have cut out. I mean, because, like, at the end, Sam Neill, I keep wanting to say Sam Raimi, sorry.
two very different people.
Yeah, seriously.
But I'd like to see them work together.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Anyway, Sam Neill, his makeup, I guess, at the end. I mean, how could you PG-13 that up? It's like Hellraiser level gross.
Yeah, it's like ritualistically makeup. Scarred up.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I knew it was coming, I still was kind of disturbed by it, so.
Yeah. even though we said this movie wasn't as scary as we remember it being, it was still had some creepy moments in it.
Yeah. If you're not expecting what is... Because we all had seen it, so we were expecting what we were expecting.
Yeah.
But if you just went into this... Again, like audiences back in the 90s went into it just thinking, hey, you know, it's just a thriller.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that the scene where they're listening to the recording from... they picked up from the ship. That
fucking part is nuts.
That recording is creepy because it's like... But again, it's something like...
I should make my ringtone. Just freak the fuck out of people every time my phone goes off.
But like, okay, me, in my mindset, if I heard that fucking recording, it's like, we're going to go investigate the ship this came from. I'm like, no, we're not. No.
Fuck you guys, I'm going home.
That sounded like, at best, a murder.
Yeah.
At best.
At worst. Not fun murder.
So good job, sound designers. Woo.
Yep. But sound designer, I mean, the one thing I do kind of want to start with this negative, because I have to point it out, although it's not
a perfect movie. There's negatives.
Yeah,
there's
it's not a perfect movie. But, like, one of the glaring things, and it's really more of because we're watching this 20 years after it was made.
Right.
This, the CG in it is 97 CG. It's,
yeah.
It's, I mean, I hate to go to this already, but it's rough. It's barely above Buffy level CG.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say that. And, like, because what we're getting is, like, a mix of models and CGs.
Yeah.
Basically what we're doing. And, like, for example, like, the stuff floating in space, that stuff looked like shit.
Yeah, that was...
They had, like, a scene where, like, the guy is putting his hand into, like, a goo thing.
It was, like, a floating ball of coolant.
Yeah, and, like, it just looked terrible. And I'm like, you know, they had gotten that down with Terminator 2, that whole... style of
liquid,
CG.
Yeah, the liquid.
The liquid, the liquid thing, and I think the Abyss had stuff like that too, the and even Stargate did. Had yeah. that, and it worked really well, but this looked like shit.
Yeah, but again, I think, Sean, you're the one who mentioned it, right? Like, this didn't get greenlit until...
Yeah, they didn't officially get, like, a go until, like, 10 weeks before production.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah, and so it's just like that really crippled, I'm sure, a lot of their ability to put in effort into the CG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was one of the... And while there were some moments where when they mixed the models with the CG, it looked fine, there were others where it was glaringly obvious.
Yeah. The one weird, like, shot... Sorry, just since we're on it right
yeah.
now.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like,
go anywhere you need to.
You know... I know how to do optical printing and stuff.
Oh,
so like I'm always looking at, things, and like, you know, you can always tell with optical printing when they're going into like a model that has like a little window, and mm-hmm. you're going into the inside with live actors and stuff like that. And this had that moment where it kind of shakes around a little bit. So I'm like, I don't know what the effects were, kind of a hodgepodge of like every trick in the book, which was kind of typical of the late 90s.
Yeah.
And kind of wonderful at the same time, but the CG definitely was not up to par with the rest of what was going on with the special effects.
Yeah, and I feel
and
like...
great set design, by the way.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
crap.
Oh, the set was...
like, alien level.
Yep.
Like, really good stuff.
It was very reminiscent of Alien, but it also had, like...
It had its own character.
Yeah. It was kind of more like... if the alien ship was a bit more industrial.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's just these kind of thriller movies, it's hard to avoid the alien connection, whether it's superficial or true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, a space horror movie, Alien is like the...
That's the one.
That's the big one. And you're always...
Sorry, Alien Covenant, you're not cutting it.
No, you are not. But yeah, that I mean, it's hard to avoid comparison
right.
to that. Even if you don't... like, this movie didn't have any kind of alien
no.
monsters in it.
No, no.
Even if you don't have that stuff, it's still like, well, you're in space. You're doing all this. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So the comparisons are going to come. But this movie stands on its own.
Right.
I will definitely give it credit for that.
I don't think there's really anything that's quite like it, honestly. Like, even though there's that generic... plot, you know,
yeah,
I don't know, like, just the idea that your wormhole opens up hell, that's pretty cool.
The closest thing to this movie that I can think of would probably be Sunshine.
Okay, yeah.
Danny Boyle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny Boyle directed. Yeah. I actually really like that movie. I have issues with it.
Written
again,
by Alex Garland, writer-director of Ex Machina.
And we all love Ex Machina.
That'll probably explain why I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they're still quite different films, but they have
right.
sort of the similar this
ten
that
years
one
apart too.
What?
Sunshine was 2007, they were written 10 years they came
oh,
out 10
shit.
Years apart.
That's kinda cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like this one was more like everything's happening because of a hell dimension, and Sunshine was kind of more like space paranoia.
Yeah.
So they're similar, but they are different.
Yeah, because like I actually am in the camp of I'm not biggest fan of Sunshine because of the third act.
Okay, we might have to. I feel like we'll have to watch this one because this might be one of the first ones we really disagree on.
Yeah, because I mean, like this one, I think it works better in it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like if we get into it, it felt like it was just way too abrupt in Sunshine, as if like they don't know how to end it. Whereas this one felt more natural.
It's sort of set up throughout it, so when stuff like this happens, it's like, okay, this is the next logical step,
right,
for this to happen. There was another negative I do want to mention. Most of the cast was really good in it. Lawrence Fishburne, always good. Sam Neill, always good.
Lawrence Fishburne is an underrated presence in movies.
He is a very underrated presence in movies.
Cowboy Carl's great.
Cowboy Carl. Cowboy Carl is wonderful. Jason Isaacs, really good in this.
Yeah.
Pretty much every one of the crew was good.
Jason Isaacs playing Jason Isaacs.
Yep. Except for, I need to look up her name.
Oh, I looked that too. I just forgot.
What was, I think.
Miss Forgettable?
Kathleen Quinlan. She played like the medic of the group. I was not a fan of her.
And there was like some really cheesy stuff, like the mama bear and...
Oh, yeah, the her calling the youngest crew member like baby bear and him calling her mama bear.
I'm like, yeah, that was weird. With better actors, maybe that would have worked, but it just...
They didn't have, like, a scene kind of setting up, right. Like, they had that relationship.
Because it's just, like, he's in the AirPod, and suddenly, like, they're trying to, like, connect to each other, because he's, like, possessed or whatever. And then when he realizes, like, he's gone nuts, and he's putting himself into the airlock, and...
Yeah,
like,
the first crew member who's really affected by it, because They get to the ship, the Event Horizon, and like they repower it up, and the core, the demon core, that's what I'm gonna call
it. Yeah, whatever. That's what it looks like, a demon core.
Yeah, the demon hole. It like wakes up and pulls one of the crew members in, like the youngest guy, and he goes catatonic for a little while, but then he wakes up and locks himself in the airlock. He's gonna shoot himself into space. And like after he's hit the button to open the door, it starts.
Like he becomes unpossessed or something.
Yeah, like the loud noises kind of snap him out of it. And they're having this weird conversation where she's calling him Baby Bear and he's calling her Mama Bear. But they didn't really establish that like they had that kind of like a mother son sort of relationship before.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a scene that was cut or something.
But even then, like maybe it just was like a weird relationship.
Yeah.
Weird noise.
and she wasn't the greatest actress. She wasn't the greatest actress.
She was awful.
She was pretty bad. Like the ship's fucking with her and it's making her see her son who's back on Earth, who's crippled his legs. There's something wrong with his
crippled
legs.
What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I like, though, that you blamed Sean for what I said.
That's because it's usually Sean's fault.
Yeah. Okay.
Since you're doing the sound effect.
Hold on.
I'm going to stop it.
Guys, don't fight until I can get, like, a camera and put this up on YouTube. Okay?
But, boy fights.
Boy fights!
She's hallucinating her son on the ship, and he's got, like, these gigantic lesions on his legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually...
It's the Black Plague. It came back in style.
I mean... That's... It might as well have been.
The 2040s, we're going to have that
And
back.
Again, they had this little kid for that, and you know our stance on kid actors.
They're terrible.
He was not an exception to this rule.
Nope.
And eventually she sees this little kid running around, so she follows him up into like a higher part of the ship. For some reason, this ship is built where there's a gigantic just hole in the middle of this hallway.
Yeah.
That she falls down into the demon core room and... just like splatters on the floor.
Yeah. We were glad to be rid of her though.
If there wasn't a hole in the floor, how else would she have fallen?
Well, I never thought of that. Yeah.
Just like solid ground. Ah! Where would she fall down?
Well, maybe they're using like Star Wars rules where there's always like some fucking hole and they never have like any kind of
security
things. Like they're always falling in holes in those fucking movies.
Yep.
Like, in that whole series. Yeah, that was one of the better ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was her character was probably the weakest of the crew. Everyone else, even if they didn't get that much time, I was fine with or I really liked.
Yeah, but he's like, he wasn't security. The dude who plays Alfred in the Gotham series.
Yeah, he was the pilot.
Yeah, okay.
We never really saw what he was. There are a few of them who didn't really get that affected by it, but that's because... I'm going to give the excuse. That's because he was in and out of ships trying to get away.
I was meaning I liked him.
But yeah, I like that actor.
It was just like everyone... Pertwood.
Sean Pertwee.
Okay. Mm. But it's like everyone was watchable and like, oh, you're interested except for her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, like, Cooper, I liked.
Yeah.
Who was, I mean, part of, he was kind of the comic relief of the movie.
Yeah.
For a lot of it.
Yeah.
And there was a part where they basically blow him into space and he has to find his way back to the ship. Which was kind of,
I'm gonna get it! Like,
he had the great line where he's just, after their escape ship is blown up by Sam Neill once he's gone nuts. Sam Neill goes nuts. Which I kind of said.
Sam Neill goes Sam Neill.
I'll get into some of that stuff.
Actually, saying that, now I want to see a movie where Sam Neill's the villain and Nicolas Cage is the hero, one of his like straight to like streaming like modern day action movies. I'd be really interested.
Let's make it happen.
I will do it.
Yeah.
Oh, Sci-Fi Connection, the pilot, Sean Pertwee, is the son of the third Doctor from Doctor Who, John Pertwee.
Wow.
Huh.
Jeez.
So, just
just there a little piece of trivia
there
for you.
There you go for you.
He's like, he looks like a ashamed that you came up with that trivia there.
No, I because it's a doctor. I don't watch old Doctor Who really, so yeah. It's just like it's not as exciting to me.
I don't think a lot of the people who are like Doctor Who fans now have seen anything past like the ninth Doctor.
No,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen some of it. But it's like he's not one of the more fun Doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the middle of the road ones, so it's not one of the more exciting Doctors.
Well, at least his son got the charisma that
and the correct spelling of Sean.
Yeah,
true.
Yep. There's only one way to spell Sean.
The Irish way or no way at all.
Yep. Sian.
What is with your last name anyway?
How Irish it is?
Like
there's three E's in it. Like, does there need to be that many E's?
No, I was always I had like a weird like. Keefe? Like, that's what I thought your last name was for, like, 2 years.
That's what everyone thinks my last name is. And, like, in high school, it'd always be, like, Keffy?
Well, it doesn't help that your Facebook is, like...
Yeah, it's it was a
different thing.
High school nickname.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is actually...
Oh, the luck of the Irish.
One of my many credits on IMDb.
Is, yeah, your it's Facebook
split,
name.
It's split amongst different names.
That's wonderful.
At least you're on IMDb. I'm not on it.
Yeah.
Twice.
Ooh, Mr. Fancy Pants here. Too good. This is why we're writing you out of the podcast, because you're too good for us.
I like your terminology, though, of writing me out. Not throwing out or kicking me off, but writing me out.
Because we scripted all of this before
Clearly, if you've listened, just like, oh, this is all scripted beforehand. They
There's
never go
no
off.
Way this is all off the cuff.
No.
It's too brilliant. Morning.
So there's no way they can have this many Buffy references and not have it planned out.
There's no way you could come up with that many bad puns.
Just, it's impossible.
You came up with a really good one during this movie.
I can't remember what it is for the life of me.
What did he say? It was like Sean level good. Like, he wanted to kick his own ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll probably come to another.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But anyway. I mean, there's a lot of... I kind of covered what I thought was the weakest stuff of the film. Was there anything you guys thought was weaker or... That wasn't what I had brought up?
I couldn't...
The music.
Oh,
the opening music
the opening
and the...
credits
and
music.
And the closing credits music.
So, like this is... Okay, this is what they chose for this?
The worst of, like, 90s techno music was just... And so... didn't fit the rest of the film at all.
No.
Because, like, you know... nowadays, movies rarely have long opening credit sequences, which is a damn shame, because, like, it's a great way...
Yeah, like a James Bond film.
Yeah, yeah. But, like... I mean, like, I'm on Terminator, but I always think, like... The opening of Terminator, the first and the second one, but the first one especially, like, you know, they have the credits and they have like the cool fonts and everything. It sets the tone for the movie so well. And this one has a long credit sequence and nothing matches up. The font, the music, nothing matches up to what this movie is. I mean, like, you can went with, like, weird, like, spooky music, but it's like, and like the maybe I'm not remembering right, but it felt like the original Superman credits, they're like coming at you or going away, and like they're moving. Well,
they that's another, like the opening credits, they had a weird, really bad CGI effect.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah. It was that was the first thing I'm like, oh, maybe this movie isn't good. Maybe I'm remembering it completely wrong, but then
just so out of place.
Yeah. And then when the movie ends on this kind of like horrifying thing, we're going back to this like what's more or less upbeat techno music.
Yeah.
You know?
Is there like any like downer techno music?
I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of techno.
Yeah, no,
even though I have a lot of synthesizers.
I can't get into techno at all. But it's just
sad
like,
techno.
And it's just like upbeat techno, but it's like, what about like the sad thing?
Maybe some of the ambient stuff.
Oh, then you're getting into ambient stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
At that point, just listen to noise rock.
Right. I do listen to noise rock, and I like
too.
It.
Love it.
Yeah, but yeah, like those three things. Sean, was there any?
I feel like my biggest issue though goes with the, it felt like it was paced for a longer ending.
Yeah.
So it's like you're spending time kind of getting with these people, and then it's like there's supposed to be more, but it's just like it kind of ended, and so you can kind of feel.
That abruptness?
Yeah, the lack of the stuff that he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it did have an abrupt feel to the end. Punctuated by that fucking music. Well,
because, like, the crew members who survived, like, they're not really...
They're not surviving. I mean, this is a Hamlet ending, you know? Everybody's fucking dead.
Yeah, well, the ones who quote-unquote...
Whoa!
Yeah, dude.
Hamlet's friend lived.
Yeah.
Oh,
remember
did he?
That? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
I'll go watch the Mel Gibson version just for shits and giggles.
40-year-old man playing Hamlet. That's actually my... That's... Ugh, to get into Hamlet rant. No. My English teacher was telling me he saw a production one time. I think it was Fortinbras is the name of the character. But this one production of it, they had the warring king come in and just snap the dude's neck.
Oh, damn.
Just for, like, a random, like, kill everyone ending.
That is actually kind of awesome.
Damn. That's one way to do it.
I'm pretty sure it's Fortinbras.
I can't. I'm not as well-versed in Hamlet as some other of my contemporaries.
I took, my senior year, I took Shakespeare instead of English.
Well, I mean, technically Shakespeare's English.
I know, but I mean, like, you can either do, like, English classes or take Shakespeare classes.
Oh,
so I took Shakespeare classes.
Oh, look at you.
Mr. Fancy.
These are smarty pants over here.
Taught by Ezekiel from Children of the Corn.
Oh, shit.
Okay, I would have taken that then.
Yeah, that's what I did. But yeah, I mean, the crew who sort of...
Horatio. Fortinbras is in a different one.
Yeah,
Prince of Norway.
I can see how you can make that confusion. Horatio, Fortinbras, Horatio.
Well, Fortinbras is the name of the Prince of Norway who comes in, and he was the one that snaps Horatio's neck. So I had the character names just mixed up. Sorry, Hamlet time.
It's all right. But I mean, yeah, there's... The ending felt kind of rushed, because they have the whole thing where, like, they're going to blow up part of the ship so they can escape, and the other part... And then Lawrence Fishburne gets trapped in the hallway. Lawrence Fishburne's thing he's seeing throughout the movie is this man on fire who you find out from a story. He was on another space expedition when he was younger, and there was this crew member.
Was it the Goliath? It was a pretty cool sounding name. It was what the other ship was.
Might have been.
Nebuchadnezzar?
Nebuchadnezzar?
Nope.
Wrong sci-fi.
Yep. I don't remember what it was called, but I remember, like, they had to evacuate that ship because something went wrong, and everyone but this one crew member...
Jesus.
They hit a space iceberg.
They're very rare, but they're out there.
It happens. It happened here.
Happens more often than you think.
Yep. So this one crew member got stuck behind. They couldn't let him in, and Lawrence Fishburne basically watched him die because the thing exploded, and, like, he got burned up alive. So he keeps seeing this guy chasing him around the ship. And at the end, he gets trapped in the demon core with this guy on fire who turns
into
ritualistically cut up Sam Neill. And so he basically blows them up, sacrificing himself to save the rest. But it did feel very rushed.
Well, also just like the horror-ness of everything, and it's just like there's you could just feel there's so much more. They're probably tortured longer with like the images and stuff.
With like the blood orgy stuff.
Yeah. Which I mean, Hellsers is not an orgy.
That, oh, I loved that part.
They could have gone more with that, honestly.
Yeah. And they did.
Like I was
That was one of the big things that was cut.
Yeah, because I was like, are they having sex?
This got an NC-17
rating. This is great! Like,
but yeah, because...
Maybe because I'm just a sick asshole, but I'm just like, wow, blood orgy sex.
Which is what all of them had.
Yeah!
Except, asshole joke.
You can do better. There was... son of a bitch. There was a... it's like, certain point in the movie where they finally find the footage of what happened to the crew... of Horizon.
Best line in the whole movie.
And it's this big, like, they're all, like, killing each other and fucking each other while killing each other and pulling out their own eyes. Because like, one of the reasons they go to the ship is Jason Isaacs. Jason Isaacs, and I put their two names together.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, Jason Isaacs is like listening to this screaming message, and he thinks he hears a voice saying in Latin, "Save us," but later on he realizes it was saying, "Save yourself."
Like in Latin and dead language.
Yeah, but they watch this whole video of the crew mutilating each other, and Lawrence Fishburne's response is turning off the video and saying, "We're leaving now."
I would like to hope that like that wasn't the line in the script, and it was just like it wasn't working. Paul Thomas Anderson just went up to him and he's like, "So what do you think would happen?" And Lawrence Fisher was like, "I'll turn it off and go say, no, we're leaving now.
Get the fuck out of here."
And he's like, "Okay, let's do that."
And of course Sam Neill's like,
"No, I gotta be in my weird demon ship.
I wanna enter my hole."
Sam Neill, the whole time is he's having visions.
Whole time.
What? God damn it. Sean, I hate you.
We are talking about a hellhole.
Sean, it's too late for this.
I know a goth kid his name is Vision. Because of course it is.
I was hoping you were going to say his name is Hole.
I hope his last name is Quest.
I don't. But Sam Neill the entire time is having memories of his wife who killed herself. So the demon core keeps showing him his wife and her eyes are gone. Like throughout it, he keeps seeing her and she keeps telling him, like, join us, join us.
One of us. Ooga by one.
Google gobble, Google gobble. One of us. One of us. And so eventually he snaps and pulls out his own eyes. Which there was one shot where they look kind of cheesy, but the other shots they look
pretty good.
She couldn't do it for him.
Yeah.
That's right. She was just demon vision.
Demon vision. Figment of his demonic imagination.
Yep.
I feel like it looked terrible, like that one shot, because it was close up.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like with the wife, it was farther away, so it's like you weren't able to get close and personal and inspect that hole properly.
I mean, back in the 90s, man, that was a fucking freaky effect, though.
Because
it wasn't makeup, it was CG. And it did look like something that we had kind of never seen before at that time.
And then she'll never see again.
Oh my god. Okay, now we've got him started.
Damn it. Although...
feels like he's got a makeup space or something.
I mean, and that's what led to him saying, where we're going, we don't need eyes.
As Spencer mentioned, he lied and got the eyes back.
Yep.
After he, trying to kill Lawrence Fishburne and, I just remember the character's name was Stark, like the second lieutenant, where he's shooting this gigantic like rivet gun that shoots spear-sized rivets.
Yeah.
Wait, was it Sean Pertwee?
No, it was Jolie Richardson.
Like that repair job that they did on the outside of the spaceship, like it looked like really shoddy. Like, do you guys really want to like? That is like the worst repair job ever. Yeah. Well, they're trying to repressurize the spaceship and it's not working.
Where do you think they're going to get duct tape?
Like, yeah,
come on.
I was going to say, it's like if your fender starts falling off the front of your car and you just slap a bunch of duct tape on there.
It's the German tape. Da tape.
They did have duct tape on the hibernation bays. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice touch.
You with the names on them?
Yeah, I like that.
I think his was the only one that had it because he had just joined the crew.
New guy. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was just visiting the crew.
I like that they still have to put names on it though. Like, we're not gonna know who this asshole is unless we put duct tape on there.
Look at this nerd.
Nerd.
Maybe he wanted his own name on there. What a nerd.
And my name is no, you're nerd.
Nerds.
All a bunch of nerds. But yeah, he's trying to kill the two of them with this gigantic rivet spear gun and ends up shooting out a window and blowing himself out into space. But then the demon core, like, brings him back all ritualistically cut up, but his eyes are back.
Yeah.
So I guess he did need eyes.
Yeah.
He was a liar.
He was a damn liar.
Stupid damn liar.
And his haircut did change at that point, though.
You're right, he was bald.
Finally!
Yeah, there's two Sam Neill hairs. Sam Neill or bald Sam Neill.
Yep.
That's it.
That's pretty much it, yeah. I would say so.
Yeah. That's the only Sam Neills you get. I also loved... because they never quite show what Jason Isaacs' character is going, seeing or being driven nuts by, but you can tell he's starting to crack.
Yeah.
And a great moment they had with that, because he seemed like on edge from the very beginning and very dour about things.
That's just his face.
Yeah. But once he starts going, like, Sean Pertwee's character gets pissed at Sam Neill because Sam Neill's starting to go nuts. And so he, like, lunges at him and attacks him. And Jason Isaacs' response is to pull him back, slam him on a table, and stick, like, a scalpel up to his throat. And everyone's kind of like, oh, no. Okay. That's okay, yeah, we're good.
You kind of went to a 10 there, but, you know, this call for a 3.
Yep, rein it back in, just rein it back.
And, like, he lets him go, and he's like, this ship's doing something to me. And then Sean Pertwee tries to jump on Sam Neill and beat the crap out of him immediately again. It's great.
By the way, can we talk about how Jason Isaacs hasn't aged at all? Like, he looks exactly the same in this movie as he does now.
No, we're not allowed... Legally, we're not allowed to talk about that.
We can,
but it's redacted.
Okay.
Fuck the law!
No.
I think it's because he probably has old face, so he just, like,
kind of... Yeah, because then we were talking about that with Lawrence Fishburne, too, that he was... He looked old in the 80s, you know?
Yeah, just like, they probably, like, they just have the natural old face, and then they just, like, the rest of their body ages into it.
Yep. It just naturally happened. He always looked like Malfoy's dad.
Oh, yeah. Actually, in this movie, there were some shots of Lawrence Fishburne where he did look like a good 10 years younger.
Yeah.
I think
he looked even older for some reason, though. I mean, maybe it's because he had a shaved head in The Matrix. Like, he looked, like, a lot bigger in The Matrix.
I think
and it's only 2 years later.
It's probably like outfits, and maybe he buffed up.
Might have buffed up. Yeah. That might have been the
thing. Yeah, because he didn't look. I gotta go home and rewatch the Matrix movies.
Yeah, just watch the first one. Thank me later.
I think we've discussed this actually. I don't think 2 and 3 are as terrible as some people will say.
Fair enough.
You are giving us more and more ammunition to get rid of you, Sean. To write you out. The scene where the kid does get shot out the airlock, we kind of mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
But that was a cool scene.
Yeah.
Just like with the effects and stuff.
Yeah, I was wondering, like the effects on his arms, they looked like they were practicals.
Yeah, the veins and everything.
Yeah, that was really great. They injected
with the Stallone steroids. And,
and like when the blood starts shooting out his face.
Yeah.
I still think it was silly that he survived that. The kid who gets locks himself in the airlock, by the time he wakes up, they realize there's nothing they can do.
Right.
But Lawrence Fishburne just so happens to be outside of the ship trying to fix their ship.
Right.
And so he's like pulling himself along.
Yeah.
Like all the railings like to get to the doorway.
Thing, yeah.
It was pretty cool, but they could have filmed it cooler.
Yeah, it was cool. But like he positions himself so right as a kid starts to get shot out the airlock, he tells him like, curl yourself into a ball, breathe out all the air so your lungs don't explode.
Yeah.
And he rockets himself and pushes the kid back in and saves him.
Yeah.
But then the kid's like basically like,
he's fucked up at that point.
Yeah, he's like, fucked up. He's like, Jason Isaacs' line was, he won't be pretty, but he'll live.
Yeah.
Although he wasn't pretty to begin with.
So yeah, he was kind of goofy looking.
Yeah, he's a weird looking kid.
Yep. But, I mean, even though that was silly, all the effects of, like, the veins and stuff was one of the cooler.
Yeah, I agree.
There were really cool things in here. I also, as we've mentioned earlier with Resident Evil and stuff, it's like, I don't think Paul W.S. Anderson's the greatest of directors.
Paul Thomas Anderson? W.S. Anderson, okay.
I know, it's one of those that's the other Paul Anderson.
He is absolutely not the greatest director.
And it's just like, you can, I feel like this could have been, in someone else's hands, what this could have been would have been really cool to see.
Yeah. Although I am interested.
But it's competent. I'd say it's competent. Yeah. It's
and I am interested to see some of the stuff they cut.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have made it worse, made it better, or what.
I think it would have, it could have made it better, but I still feel like some of the beginning stuff, I still feel like there could have been, like, the pacing of this movie wasn't the greatest.
No. Yeah.
It was a little off at times.
And unfortunately, the extra stuff does not exist anymore.
Ah,
they burn the negatives.
It's one of those the Magnificent Andersons type or Ambersons type situation.
No, Andersons in this case.
But like it existed at one point, but then of course no one wanted to archive it because no one believed in archiving really. Yeah. And there was like a VHS copy of it apparently that existed, but it was too damaged to to be salvaged, so they just threw it away.
That's kind of like what happened to Dark Crystal, actually. There's like this crazy version of Dark Crystal that's like almost like a horror movie.
I can see that. I could easily see that.
Yeah, and somebody on YouTube like found the VHS of the, because like they weren't supposed to ever speak English. They had like these made up languages and stuff, and then like, I mean, Jim Henson wisely, like, he saw the movie that he made. He's like, okay, this is kind of messed up. And he was able to go back and, you know, fix it. But it was kind of cool to watch it, you know, that Dark Crystal could have been a very different movie. And I think Dark Crystal is good how it is. But, like, it was interesting seeing this other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You think it's good as it was, but you want to see the different version?
I like Jim Henson. Hanson.
One's a puppeteer, one's a boy band.
I knew this girl once.
She knew Jim Henson?
She really liked Hanson. Hanson.
Yeah.
Hanson!
If there's anything you should take away from today, it's that Hanson and Hanson are not the same thing.
Yes.
I think is the point this movie.
This just blew my mind. I thought Jim Henson was the lead singer from Hanson for the longest time.
Surprisingly, no. Surprisingly, he is not.
He's okay, though, right? He likes doctors and makes sure he gets stuff checked out when he's sick.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Big Bird gave his eulogy, man.
It
was rough.
And on that note,
Horizon.
Yeah.
Oh, I do want to say one. I think we're kind of wrapping up here. But,
yeah, I mean, I've pretty much covered what I was going to. I was going to ask if there anything else.
Yeah, the one thing that I, you know, the room where the spinning ball is, I mean, that is some amazing set design there. Because the set design on this movie is excellent.
I think most of that was like rubber that had just been.
Yeah, yeah, but it has all these little spiky things and it moves around.
It's got
the
spinny hallway, it hits the entrance.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, and then even like the airlock to it, like has spikes. This thing just is like out of hell, you know? And I'm like, why is the airlock even have spikes? Jesus Christ, man.
Right?
But
it's like, this thing
worked.
Wasn't intended to be a hell door, it was intended to be an engine. So why is.
Why does it look like death?
Yeah.
I actually love some of the nonsense designs that they had in these spaceships. because there was like the one spinny room. Oh, it like the flex magnets or whatever. It's just like some of this is just absolute nonsense. You just saw it looked cool and you put it in there.
Yeah, you
had access to it at some point. You're like, yeah, let's throw it in there.
Yeah,
because I don't know. To compare this to another modern day sci-fi movie, Guardians of the Galaxy. It is fun to like see actual sets as opposed to just like giant green screen, green screen.
Yep. At least it gives the actors something to do,
right?
To look at.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even Alien Covenant had that problem a little bit too.
Oh,
which,
God.
You know, a series that's known for its great set design and great character design. Oh, we're just going to do CG now.
What's the most surprising thing, though, is...
Because they... By the way... Oh, sorry to cut you off. But, like, they built some aliens. Like, they actually built some practicals and they didn't end up using them.
But it's like, Ridley Scott started off as a production designer.
Yeah.
He was known... Like... It's so crazy to see, like, what Ridley Scott's become.
Yeah.
The director of Robin Hood, Exodus, Prometheus... Covenant.
You know, it starts to make sense that he made 1492 as life has gone on, because it was like, that was like the weird, like, oh, maybe Ridley Scott's not that good movie, you know? And now it's like, no, he kind of sucks.
It's actually funny because that came out and like, that was the three of, so like, he did The Duelist, which did well. He did Alien, then he did Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And then he did, he did Legend, but...
Legend's good. I like Legend.
That seems to be like, yeah, but like, then it's also like, then he went on to do like Black Rain... Somebody to Watch Over Me.
Ooh.
And then 1492.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And I mean, like, really, Gladiator is the only, like, movie that's...
Thelma and Louise did well, and people seem to like that one.
I forgot that he did Thelma
and Louise. A lot of people forget he did that one.
Okay, anyway, sorry.
Well, to bring it back to the sci-fi movies, he did The Martian, which I found to be incredibly boring.
Yeah. I like the book. I didn't like the movie. Although I do like Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. And with that, I think...
So will we... recommendations? Should we do our recommendations?
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
I'd recommend it.
Yeah, watch this movie. It's fun.
Not the most fantastic movie in the world, but it's fun.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, I feel like it's like... I feel like it's those like fun movies, but it's just like in the right hands, I feel like it could have been really elevated.
Yes.
Into like some amazing stuff.
Yeah. Like, one last thing is, like, I had a friend, he was...
You had a friend?
Yeah. We watched this movie back in maybe the early 2000s. I'd seen it in the theaters, and we watched it again in the early 2000s, and he was this really big, strong football guy, and he weighed, like, 400 pounds, and he, like, was he was so scared of this movie. He was like, I will never watch this movie again. It is, like, from hell. And this guy, like... was pretty tough, and he liked horror movies and everything, and so I don't know why it is, like, this movie really, like, set him off. So it's one of those movies that
if you're weak,
even though we did no, because he wasn't weak, he was like into horror movies, but this one really, like, punched his buttons.
I can definitely see like why this movie would really screw with people.
It's
and why I remember it being scarier than it was when I watched it, because there's still...
Right.
Like I said, there's still some creepy shit in it.
Yeah.
It wasn't as creepy as I remember it being, but I definitely understand why I remember it being creepy.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, that's always, like, has been my memory. I'm like, oh, man, that guy really freaked out about this movie. And so going back and watching it again was interesting because, yeah, it didn't have that same effect on me. But, like, I don't know. Okay, anybody has been to Disneyland? Everybody's always like,
I've not been since the tickets were double digits.
Yeah, but in Disneyland, like, there's the Haunted Mansion, which is like, little kids get really freaked out about it, and then they go on it, and it's like not really that scary. But like, there's this other ride called Snow White's, like, something or other, and like, it's just like constant the witch popping out at you and like offering you apples, and it's like the scariest fucking ride, and like the little kids will come off
apples.
Of that ride like screaming.
Well, like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is
what? But this one's like even worse in some ways because you're not expecting it at all, you know. And so because you go to hell, by the way, and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. But anyway,
is it the same hell from Event Horizon?
Yes. But anyway, where I'm going with this is that, you know, some little kids just take it for what it is, and then other kids are just like, that's the scariest ride I've ever been on. And so I think that this movie is one of those movies that, like, it really will, like, push your buttons if you're a certain kind of person, even if you're used to horror, you know.
I will add the one thing I remember from Disneyland, going as a kid, going when I was like at least 7 or 8, the thing that fucking freaked me out, I can't remember if it was exclusively a Dumbo ride, but there was like a water ride you would go on, and it ends with you going into the whale's mouth.
Oh, yeah, it's like a,
it's like right at the like front of the park.
Storybook land thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it, yeah. You,
that freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
Because at the time, I was a 7-year-old kid, and, like, and I was stuck on a boat where I was getting swallowed by a whale, and it was like a long, dark tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it came out its ass.
An actually silly one of what freaked, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with Universal Studios and stuff. I loved going there. But the one ride that always freaked me out was the E.T. ride.
Huh. I see. Yeah, yeah.
That E.T. ride gave me nightmares.
Yeah.
It was just like, it freaked me the fuck out, and especially at the end when he knew your name.
Yeah.
It was just like, I don't want anything to do with this. I also don't like the E.T. movie. Not because of scary, I just remember watching it and not liking it. But, like, that ride freaked me out.
I
was scared shitless on the Jurassic Park ride once. But not because it was scary, it was because I went with my family. I was
your
11.
Dad, I'm betting.
I was 11, my sister was 8, and my sister was like the tiniest little thing. So we get in the carts and we pull the rails down, and my dad was sitting with my sister, and my dad is a bigger guy, so it goes down on him, but the rail is not holding my sister in place. So at the end of the, so I'm sitting behind them, and at the end, there's a giant waterfall you go down.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing my sister start to float off the seat and my dad grab her.
Oh, my God.
So I was scared shitless because I thought my sister was going to be pulled into the ride.
Oh, jeez.
No, my dad was bigger than me, so I always had the same situation. So I'd, like, wrap my arms around it when I'd go down because I had that fear.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to know it was a real fear.
Oh,
I wasn't
yeah.
just a
no.
crazy person.
No, yeah, it would have happened anyway.
The E.T. ride still makes me a crazy person, though.
That's fair. E.T. sucks.
I don't know what it was about that ride that freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah, I've heard other people.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
With it. Yeah.
I've actually heard other people freak out about the Event Horizon. I've had the same reaction.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, it's like, as you were saying, there is like, to bring it back around, there is something that like, just like attacks. But I saw this when I was like a teenager, so I was just like, oh, that's a fun movie.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well,
pretty
that,
exciting, pretty sweet. Yeah, pretty
there
sweet.
You go, there you go. That wraps up our Sam Neill month. Which was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Next month, you know, got another birthday coming up.
Oh, first God! Who this time?
Month.
Who this time?
Gee, we've had 2 out of 3. I wonder who the third's gonna be.
Chris.
Our friend Chris. Who
just like skip over you and just celebrate Christmas. Not invite
he's
him
not
on
even
the podcast.
Like, he doesn't even like horror movies. You're like, God damn it.
Pick
some.
Yeah, it's gonna be my birthday, and yeah. And we might go a little in a different. Watch some
weird
movie.
Some
scared stupid.
Well, we're gonna watch some earlier movies. We've not really gone much further than the 70s, and we're gonna watch something from the 50s.
Oh,
yeah. So nice.
Wait, was Halloween the earliest one? No,
I think so.
No, Black Christmas.
Black Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, and that's 72, 73, 72.
Early 70s. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't remember off the top.
Yeah.
Of
so we're gonna be going all the way back to the 50s with one of our films.
The
other ones are going to be newer.
Bill O'Reilly
but,
dreams of.
So we'll see. We'll kind of shift gears
a
little bit.
All right. Well, cool. Got some stuff coming up. And we hope you'll tune in again. Tell you like, once again, like us on Facebook. Subscribe to both our podcast, which if you're listening to this, you probably have. And even if you're not listening to the old episodes, go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube
subscribe
channel.
Subscribe to it twice.
Yep, subscribe
the
to the YouTube book. Channel so it starts getting out there to more people. Tell your friends about the YouTube channel if they want to listen to older episodes instead of just newer ones.
Tell your enemies who like horror movies.
Yeah, just tell everybody.
Tell your
everybody.
Tell your dogs. Tell your cats.
The Horror Snob, Facebook, Podomatic Podcasts, iTunes. Also, we're on iTunes if you're... You're getting us through one or the other, and
you're listening to us at this point.
Yeah, and just get more people listening.
That was like,
to us. That's
that was
all
like that one thing, like South this Matt and Trey, like they were like, we don't even know how people watch our show anymore because like you know people watch on so many different like mediums and stuff. So I know that you're doing like a lot of work to make sure that it gets out on all these other things. I'm like, yeah, have fun with that, Sam.
Out there.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, this is aired on pirate radio to certain stations.
At 3 o'clock on alternating days in the week. It's not always like 3 o'clock on Tuesday. It might be 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, and then the next week on a Thursday.
Well, you do the same. You get shut down.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yep.
They'll find you.
But what about on a Friday?
Oh.
Well, there you go. And with that fact, I'm Sam.
I'm Spencer.
I am Sean.
This has been the Horror Podcast. The Horror Snobcast, which is a podcast. And I'm going to stop here, because if I keep going, I will embarrass myself more.